This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee. No Jonathan Hood this week. He is off, but we do have Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm as he returns to the program tonight. A lot of things to dive into. We have Bash in Berlin coming up this weekend for WWE Premium Live Event, coming off of, I think, the best all-in that they've done. It was a pretty spectacular, well, maybe not the original. Definitely better than last year's. Definitely say it was better than last year's. Of the two they've done in Wembley, this was the better. And I think a lot of it had to do with the main event. It was highly anticipated, and it delivered. Came through, at least in my opinion. So now that Bryan Danielson is the AEW World Champion, shows up last night on Dynamite, says, I'm not retiring from full-time wrestling until I lose this championship. So shout out to Jonathan Hood, who fantasy booked that correctly. Who are some of the people we want to see Bryan Danielson wrestle on his way out? It appears that he is going to be wrestling the scapegoat, Jack Perry, coming up at All Out in Chicago in just a couple of weeks.
Well, before we get to our list and mentioning All Out, which will be next Saturday in Chicago, would Jack Perry be on your list?
I don't know if he'd be on my original list. I'm not mad about it.
Okay.
Like, I'm not mad about it at all because he is one of the hotter heels right now. He certainly can afford a loss because he's still the TNT champion, because I'm not expecting Jack Perry to beat him. Mm-hmm. And just with the nature of what All In and All Out is, and thankfully next year All In, when it's going to be taking place, is separated from All Out because it's going to be in July versus August. So I'm guessing All Out returns to it. But they spread it out this year, so it's, you know, not just, hey, back-to-back weekends. It's you have a little bit of time. So in order to heat something up quickly, I do not have a problem with Jack Perry.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't have him on my list. I don't have a huge problem with him, but he's not someone that I would put on this list. In terms of the actual list, we've talked about it a lot. The AEW roster is so damn deep, and you try and book it out, and you want these matches to be special because maybe it's a month and a half of Bryan. If you say maybe Washington's where it ends, I still think he goes all the way to January and ends in Tokyo, because I think there's no way he's not going to wrestle that show, which I believe is Wrestle Dream or whatever they want to call it. But January, they're in Tokyo. So I feel like it's a limited list. I don't think we're going to see him every week. But for me, maybe it's a cop-out. I still have Ospreay on that list. Like, we've seen it, but let's see it again. Like, there's no wrong answer there.
If they wrestle, like, oh, shoot, I've got to watch Bryan Danielson, Will Ospreay again. Oh, no, I can't believe it.
Yeah, so I'm good with that. And then number two on my list is the fresh one. I have Ricochet. We've talked about it on this show. I think we're going to see old Ricochet, and I think people are used to watered down WWE Ricochet. And last night was a little tease. It was a good match with Fletcher, but I think we're still going to see that other level of Ricochet. And him and Bryan could be a hell of a lot of fun.
It could. And that's the intriguing part to this, is because we don't know how long it's going to last, right? And even last night in the promo, he puts out there, hey, I need neck surgery sooner rather than later, right? Just putting it out there. I need neck surgery. It's got to happen sooner rather than later. And so how many matches do we think we're going to get is with Bryan Danielson? Is it four? Right. Five?
He also did throw in last night that he'd be done as a full-time wrestler. He made sure to use that verbiage last night, which I think was intentional.
Which proves the point of he was just ready. He was putting his wrestling career on the line,
right?
Because that was the verbiage used going into that match on Sunday at Wembley Stadium, that he was just going to be done as a wrestler. His career was on the line. So I think I'm glad we're back to that verbiage, that there's the possibility of him potentially being back for some of these bigger events. Maybe he finally does get into, not this year, but maybe we're looking at 2026 and him in the Tokyo Dome. We actually get to see him, and we all have to, you know, rush to New Japan World, order it, forget how to, you know, can't figure out how to unsubscribe because it's all in Japanese. So hopefully he eventually gets to do that. I can't imagine he would do something like the G1. That seems too grueling. At this point in his career. So I'm hoping he maybe gets a Tokyo Dome moment there in a couple of years. But in terms of AEW, it doesn't matter to me who he wrestles on the way out. The most important one is who retires him.
True.
Like, that's the big rub. So I've been trying to figure that out in my head. And I want to see him and Daniel. I don't know if this is the answer, but depending upon what happens with Daniel Garcia, his contract, what happens with Daniel Garcia and the quick feud he has here with MJF, like he got a pretty good reception when he took that mask off during, you know, when he cost MJF in the MJF Ospreay match. He got a very good, you know, ovation last night. Had a tremendous promo last night.
And great form with the mic.
I was about to say, great aim. Like, fantastic aim. Just hit MJF right in the face with the microphone, flinging it at him. So I think there's some way that you can strap the rocket to Daniel Garcia and even close the loop on the unsatisfying end of sports entertainer versus pro wrestler.
Sure.
From a couple of years ago, I think that could potentially be fun. Now, is Daniel Garcia an AEW world champ? Nice. I don't know. But as I've thought about that throughout the course of the day, they haven't really taken a risk on anybody. There hasn't been a risky decision as an AEW world champion yet, right? Sure. Like I think the riskiest was probably Hangman. But he also had the endorsement when AEW first started, right, and he was a part of the Elite. Cody, the Young Bucks, Kenny were all singing his praises saying, hey, this is the guy. Like, right, this guy has the potential to be better than everybody. This is the guy. This is the guy. So I think that's the riskiest one that they've had, but they haven't taken a full-on risk.
That build-up that I don't even know if you can consider a risk. Like, that build-up was a year and a half of him trying to get over that hump. That, like, correct. I don't even know if you put him in that department. I hear that would be a hell of a risk, though. Like, I feel like Garcia's not there. If we're going to go someone that maybe isn't a typical main eventer, I always thought Darby would be the one. And Darby doing it in Washington. But AEW sometimes, I think, books things where they plan everything out, and then sometimes, like, oh, crap, what do we do here? Darby gets a shot in a few weeks at Grand Slam on a Dynamite.
Correct.
Because he won the Rampage, you know, throw everyone in two rings, so we have two rings out here match. I don't know if that's the actual name of it, but I think that's what it was.
It sounds pretty close. I think he was close enough. It's not that important.
So are you losing the specialness there if Brian beats Darby there and then you run it back and Darby wins the second time around?
To me, this is an opportunity to give the rub to an all-time great.
Yeah.
Right? Like, these opportunities don't come along all that often. Like, I think of, you know, Brock Lesnar when he beat the Undertaker streak. Like, beating the Undertaker streak was a big rub. Did Brock Lesnar really need that rub? No. Didn't really need it. You know, they used it certainly to catapult him into a new level of his WWE stardom. I think of when Ric Flair was retired at WrestleMania. Did HBK need that? No. It was still a tremendous match. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, it was great, and the storytelling in it was fantastic. And I think the way that they did that ended up making sense. But, like, these opportunities to have someone, because Brian's going to go out on his back. It's not a Sting situation. It's not an Undertaker, you know, cinematic match type, you know, situation. He's going to go out on his back. He is going to give the rub to someone as he ends his full-time in-ring career. And I wonder, okay, who is that guy that really could use it? Because I don't think Darby needs it. Like, Darby's already over. Like, Darby doesn't need it. Swerve doesn't need it. I'm trying to find someone. But the problem is, I don't know who's been bubbling underneath that they could strap a rocket to and heat up, because it's going to be a relatively short Bryan Danielson run.
So a couple others I had on my list just that I would love to see one-on-one in Matt Styles is Kyle Fletcher. They've been doing a lot with him.
Yep.
And the other one is Takeshita. Like, it's been up and down. You let him beat Kenny, and then he comes down. You have the, you know, the Callis stuff. There would be some heat there, and you can build something there.
Yeah, I think that would be great. You know, realistically, any more. The problem with putting together a list for me was, like, you could put just about anybody on that AEW against Bryan Danielson. I'm I'm pretty excited about this. This is
Doc Sampson,
sweet.
Like, yeah, the broomstick in the back. Yeah, Bryan will get 4 stars out of it.
We'll figure it out. One half of the Grizzled Young Veterans, shout out to Jay Hood. Like, one of those guys. He could wrestle Brandon Cutler. And I'm like, I bet this is going to be really fun, guys. Like, let's not
with the Outrunners. I think that's what they call, right? Those guys, they're a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I wonder if it's ultimately, though, going to be Mox.
Yes.
I don't know what this new character is. It would appear that he's done with the BCC.
Yeah.
I guess.
And Pac's in the BCC now, right?
I don't think so. He was just awkwardly out there for the celebration.
Like, why is he out there? You can win the match and then not be out there trying not to smile.
He's the other of the trios champions, right? Like, it'd be weird if Yuta and Claudio were out there with their championship belt. It'd be like, well, where's... I mean, he looked awkward out there. Like, he looked like he's like, I'm not sure what I'm doing out here.
Who are these little people running around? What am I supposed to do here?
Wait, okay, time out quickly. Just in that celebration, was I crazy? Or was Brian about to give his son the Tiger Driver 91?
He was. Luckily, Bree stepped in, and you know, the responsible adult there said, no, let's not do that to the 2-year-old or 3-year-old. So
his neck's not that strong. No. And he might even like that's not okay. I just wanted to make sure that I saw that correctly, that Brian was parading around in the ring ready to give the Tiger Driver 91 to his son. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure I saw
great
that.
Job. On social, I saw a lot of people saying, oh, Brian turned heel after the show went off air, and it was that clip of him about to Yep.
He's turning on his own son.
One of a kind.
This new direction for Mox, I'm intrigued. And again, admittedly, I'm a Jon Moxley fan. And the fact that, like, Jon Moxley being a lone wolf, like, at the beginning of the show, like, okay, well, I mean, he's just kind of a prickly fellow. He's always been a prickly fellow. He can still be in the BCC. But then beating up just employees in the back with Marina Shafir, that's a little different. That's a different direction. That's a different direction than the feel good world champions that we ended with on in Wembley on Sunday night or Sunday afternoon here in the States. So I'm curious to see where that goes. And I wonder if it ultimately is Moxley who again, doesn't need it, but I think there is a story to be told there. If Mox is the one who ends up retiring Bryan Danielson, especially if they're going with a Mox heel character, because even anytime they've tried to do Mox as a heel, he gets cheered.
Right.
Like he just ends up being the cool heel and he's just over anyway. Retiring Bryan Danielson and then talking trash about it afterwards, that's a way that you could actually get Mox heat.
Yeah, 100%. And like you said, the story there where like the BCC was essentially born out of those two just beating each other up and doing things and the Regal involvement. I am curious also to see where the Mox thing goes. I know Twitter wanted to speculate and say, oh, this is obviously a Shane McMahon drop here, but him and Mox just doesn't seem like a relationship that you look at and are like, all right, that makes sense. Like that just seems odd to me.
Yeah, I don't see it.
Right.
As a guy who openly hated the McMahons as much as he did after he left the company. And look, if Shane's trying to, you know, separate himself from his dad with everything going on there, you know, that would be one way to do it. But
right.
I kind of, after seeing what I saw last night, my mind went to two places. Was Daniel Garcia, probably not ready, be a huge risk.
Yeah.
And then I looked at Mox and went, this makes the most sense.
Yeah, and that's why I feel like Mox does make sense. Like, what about an Okada? Or is it just Swerve? Swerve, who arguably had one of the best title runs they've had as world champions. We've talked a lot on this show. They've done an
awesome job at both
camps. Swerve was one of the best.
He's had the best since Omega.
Yeah. So do you?
I mean, the first three runs were good. With Jericho, Mox, and Omega. After that, it got shaky. CM Punk's because of injury. Hangman's was meh. And then ended
MJF
with CM Punk. MJF, it took a backseat to the ROH World Tag Titles.
Of course, yeah.
You know, Joe was just a transitional champion.
Yep. So maybe it's Swerve, and then you let him get another run.
I wouldn't be mad about it. I wouldn't be mad about it. I'm curious to see who ends up winning in the cage match because he's clearly the heel again.
He is. And I feel like Hangman can't lose again, right?
I don't think he can. That's where I'm at. But
right.
So it's curious to see what happens coming out of that.
Yep.
So they've got a lot of options. As much as I would love to see a young option like Daniel Garcia, I don't think that's the way they go.
Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like that would be awesome. It'd be a hell of a star maker. And like, we're going to see it in WWE with whoever puts Cena out on the way out. Hopefully that's the way it goes. But like, this is the big opportunity to make another star, and hopefully they take advantage of it whenever that might come.
Yeah, and that's the fun part, is we don't know when. Like, I know it's not going to be 2 weeks in Chicago.
Right.
That I know. After that, like, could it be at WrestleDream? Could it be at World's End? Could it be a random Dynamite? Could it be on Rampage?
Yeah, it's Brian. It's Rampage. Or you know what? Is this the way you elevate Battle of the Belts? Brian drops the title on a Battle of the Belts.
I was going to say he drops it on Honor Club, but...
Oh, okay.
You know, go back to the ROH days.
Yeah.
And also, just quickly before we move on to the other top three stories, they've only done it twice, but I love it when he gets Final Countdown.
Yeah.
It just brings a different feel and a different level going in. Like, it adds an extra beat of emotion, and the crowd popped for it. It was fantastic.
That's the other thing about Brian, and, like, I don't know if it was just being prisoner of the moment this weekend. There are a lot of wrestlers that can – not a lot. There are a handful of wrestlers that can do what Brian does in the ring, which is every time he's out there, it's four stars no matter who's on the other side. But Brian's got that other side of getting you to care emotionally. Like, that match this weekend – watching with a group of people, we all were edge of the seat. Every fall is like, oh, this is it. He's going to lose. And they're like, oh, he's going to win. And he's not. Like, Ospreay's still getting there. Punk has his moments. But, like, Brian just continuously to do it all, to even going back to WrestleMania, he gets you to care, and then he goes out there and does what he does in the ring.
Yeah, he has that connection with the audience that very few have had.
Right.
Right? Like, and that's what makes him special. He has that connection. When he's yelling, as he's taking his own yes kicks,
yes,
and he's yelling to his family how much he loves them, like,
God,
yeah, I'm in, man. Like, I'm all in.
So good.
All right, we've got some other things we want to talk about. We could do probably the entire show on Bryan Danielson if we wanted to, but you know what? There are other things we do need to get to, other things that happened, whether it was getting ready for Bash in Berlin, whether it is other things that happened at All In. What do we have in our three count this week, the other top three stories in the world of professional wrestling?
All right, let's start with some, well, retired wrestlers. Batista, in an interview with Chris Van Vliet, was talking about his last match back in 2019 versus Triple H, says he does think about getting that pop again with the entrance, but, quote, he doesn't want to tarnish the perfect ending he created for himself. So who is someone you'd like to see get one last final match?
All right, first and foremost, the interview that he did was fantastic. Like, I don't know who his co-star was, but she was just, like, enthralled in the entire time. Like, when they're talking about his entrance music, and Chris is like, yeah, that's a banger. She's like, oh, really? Oh, I wish I could have seen this. Oh, you got to show me all this stuff. Like, she was just, like, really interested. They're talking about, like, the heaviest he was, which was, like, 320-something, okay, and now he's down to, like, a svelte 240. And she's like, oh, wow, you used to be that big. Like, she was all in on all the professional wrestling talk that they had. Wow. It was fantastic. It was hilarious.
Well, sort of off this then, is he the top of the food chain of the wrestler turned actors, or even the current one? So if you go him, Rock, Cena.
No, it's still Rock.
You put Rock on top of him.
It's still Rock. I mean, in terms of, wait, do I think Batista's a better actor?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I think Batista's a better actor. But Rock's still a bigger star in Hollywood.
Yeah. Like, Rock gets, so Rock's a star, but if you told me Batista wins an Oscar one day, I don't think that's crazy.
No, because he's like searching for those roles. Like, he wants to be like a character actor, right? And as much as I would love to see him come out and do that entrance again, and I remember being in Milwaukee here when he was a Batista, when he was like blue, you know, and he waved at everybody like this as a heel and just like, nah, I'm out of here. See you later. Like, he was fantastic. He was so good. And I wish he would do one more. But at the same time, his ending was perfect. He got to do the one thing he wanted to do with Triple H. The way that they, especially in that era when he came in, the storytelling lacked significantly in WWE. And he comes in and is able to get you to feel something by beating up Ric Flair, getting Triple H's attention, and getting the match that he wanted. So as I respect it a lot. I would, Batista honestly would probably be near the top of my list because obviously the man could still go.
Right.
But I really respect the fact that he is holding true to, nah, that was it. I got my storybook ending. I don't need to go back.
Yeah, and I think part of that, like, is the acting thing. I think because he wants to be that serious actor, he doesn't want the wrestling stuff attached to him too much, where everyone knows he's a wrestler. But if you come back and you do it again, it's like, oh, that's just the wrestler guy. And that's why I don't think he's going to be like a, I don't know, a Ric Flair who might come back 27 times. Or a Dory Funk Jr. who wrestled in a death match this past weekend at the age of 84, I believe.
84,
yeah. You know, exploding barbed wire, all that stuff. I don't see Batista being one of those guys.
No, I really don't. The other guy that I wish, and he was working towards one, and unfortunately his health isn't, and understandably so, because of everything he put his body through. I really wish Mick Foley got one last one.
Yeah,
I really do. Like, I was really jacked when he was talking about, yeah, I'm really working hard trying to get my body there. Then he had a setback and it just doesn't look like it's going to happen for him. Like, one last Mick Foley match, I feel would have been spectacular for him. I mean, they tried to set it up in WWE like a decade ago with, like, right, him and Mox, when they did the weird, like, they crossed paths, like when the Shield was still a thing.
Yeah.
But Mick Foley would also be near the top of my list, and unfortunately, I don't think we're getting it.
So one I have, because it's the opposite of Batista's storybook ending and how awful it was, is Angle. Like, the fact that
Corbin,
like, let's, you know, give him one more shot at anyone else besides Baron Corbin.
Literally anyone else.
Yeah.
Literally, yeah, anyone else.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a shame that. And maybe I'm putting too much faith in Hunter at this point. Like, Hunter wouldn't have done him dirty like that.
I don't think so. But I don't know. If you said Hunter threw Theory at him, that wouldn't be that surprising.
No, but...
but even that's better than Corbin.
Especially at the time. We're like, God damn it, this sucks. Yeah. Like, he's... like, we all knew at that time Corbin wasn't going anywhere.
Right.
Like, they were trying to – I believe that was after he had already won the Money in the Bank briefcase, lost the Money in the Bank briefcase cash-in. So it's like, well, I'm not taking this guy seriously. So they're trying to heat him back up by giving him, you know, the Kurt Angle retirement match. And Kurt Angle was pissed the whole time, so he didn't, like, really give it his all, because he's like, damn it, I got to wrestle Baron Corbin? What the hell are we doing here?
So that one, and the other one I have on my list, just to, like, personal and just being a fan, is I love AJ Lee. Like, the way she went out, like, there obviously was some bitterness. I feel like the door is now open now that Punk's back, but for her to come back, I think would be pretty cool.
I think she's coming back.
Yeah?
I mean, she can't, like... CM Punk's having such a great time.
Right.
Like, he's having a lot of fun. And I mean, she has her other projects and things that she was doing. And when he was with AEW, she was involved with Women of Wrestling. You know, she was, I think she was writing, she was commentating, she was doing a bunch of stuff for them, and she's no longer involved. So, like, she was scratching the wrestling itch there. Like, if something comes up and they want to do some sort of mixed tag with Punk and AJ, like, I think she comes back. I think she's got one last run in her.
I feel like when we see her again is in NXT. I feel like she just goes down there to take on, like, a Roxanne Perez or something.
Cool. Sweet.
Yeah, no, I'm in. Like,
yeah, like, no, I'll find the CW. Like, I'll do that. Like, you throw AJ Lee on there. Like, wherever she wants to do it, you know?
Right.
Like, I will tune in. So I think that would be a good one. I mean, Trish, because it seems like Trish is still going to come back. She wants to have one last run too. And her last run was wildly successful.
Yes. And that was done perfectly. Like, well, it's weird in hindsight. Like, we talked about it right in the moment. That made Zoe Stark into a legit star. And she seems to have faded a little bit since then. But in the moment, it was done really well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. With the way, again, they built it up with the legends, and then she turns on Becky and then has Zoe, and then you have the whole, yeah, the way that whole thing broke down was spectacular. I wish, and it's never going to happen, I wish The Undertaker had a better ending.
Hmm.
Although the cinematic match is pretty good for him. Like, it's tough to beat him and AJ in the cinematic match. I think that was a pretty good send-off for Taker. I think Taker wishes, though, in his heart of hearts, Taker wishes he could do one last in-ring performance so he could go out on his back.
So for me, the hard part with that is just getting my head to forget about the last few Manias where it was rough watching him.
And that's why I'm sad. And then, I mean, WWE, I think, has done like 6,000 Undertaker documentaries at this point. So we've seen him talk enough about how like disappointed in himself he is. Right. And like your heart just breaks and you're like, man, I wish his body would just like give him one last, like not even for me as a fan of The Undertaker, just like for him and his peace of mind. But that's the way athletics goes. That's the way, you know, not everybody gets to win the Super Bowl on their way out in the NFL, and not everybody gets to go out the way they want, which again is why Batista's like, yeah, I'm cool. Like not a lot of people get to do the way I'd got to do it. I'm cool with it. Much to that, I wish Shawn Michaels would have stayed true to his word instead of accepting the Saudi money and showing up for DX versus Brothers of Destruction.
Those don't count. It's okay.
I can't unsee it, Brian. Yeah. I wish you could.
That's your bad for tuning in.
I wish I could take the little minute. It's HBK coming back. Like,
but
at that point, I thought HBK could still do whatever he wanted to do because he's HBK, right? Like, the man is invincible. He was the greatest in-ring performer of my lifetime. And, well, turns out when you take off like 12 years, it's not good.
Check us out, by the way, on YouTube to hear Shawn Michaels joining us, where Gabe did not tell him that a couple weeks ago.
I did not. No, I didn't. Well, here's the thing. I think he would admit it. Like, he has admitted it.
Probably.
Like, that wasn't great. Yeah, I'm aware. It wasn't good.
Yeah. Good conversation with HBK.
Oh, it was a fantastic conversation with HBK as they get ready. They're going to be in Chicago here coming up in a few weeks as well with kicking off NXT on CW. But yeah, I feel like I have more on the list of I don't want to see.
Right.
Like Ric Flair. Don't do it again, bud.
You're going to see that again. I'm more like thinking of ones that as they're on the way out, I hope we see it the right way. This Cena run upcoming, and I hope the Orton run, I hope that ends well. Like, he's on such a high right now, and it's a different Randy Orton. I hope he doesn't push it too far.
Yeah, I think he's going to get treated right. I wish Triple H could have had one last match, because obviously that ended abruptly after he had the heart issue.
Right.
I wish he could have had one last, because I mean, he was still doing fine. I mean, I wasn't happy that he was WWE champion going into one of the WrestleManias, because he won the Royal Rumble and then was defeated by Roman Reigns. I didn't like the storytelling, but like in ring, physically he was fine. He was performing fine. And then unfortunately had the heart issue that made it end up retiring.
It also feels like Dwayne's going to go out the right way.
Yeah.
Like, whether it's Cody, whether it's Roman, it's going to be a big spot. Like, we're seeing the character stuff. Like, it feels like that's going to be right when he's done.
What if he beats Cody, then loses to Roman?
I think that's fine.
Okay.
Because of what we saw last year, the fact that we saw he can still go. Like, I still think back to him taking that table bump, and I'm like, this is a top level movie star here. What is he doing right now? Like, that was impressive.
He's on the board.
Right.
Why is he taking this bump? I think he'll go out right. If Stone Cold wants to have another one, fine. But I thought his ending with KO and then coming out the next night and doing all the stuff with McMahon, even though McMahon was terrible, but McAfee and having all the fun with all that. I thought that was a pretty good send off for him. Like, if he wants to come back for one more, fine. But
yeah,
I think his style,
like it's that. It's kick, punch, stunner, drink a beer. Like, we can do that anytime.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, if he wants to do another one, cool. Like, he doesn't, like, he's not going to go out on his back. He doesn't need to go out on his back. Like, I look at Stone Cold the same way I look at Sting. Like, Sting, completely cool with Sting not going out on his back in AEW. Made sense the way that they did that. Same thing with Stone Cold. Anytime he wants to come back, have a no rules match, you know, couple punches, couple kicks, sell a couple things, hand out some stunners, drink some Steve Weisers. Yeah. I'll hear the glass shatter anytime.
Right. That's all you need.
What do we got at number two?
All right, this Saturday, WWE PLE heads to Germany for Bash in Berlin, 1 o'clock Eastern start. What are you most interested in at Bash in Berlin?
It's the strap match. Because we don't get that very often in WWE. In Vince's WWE, I think we got one in 2020. I think there was one in NXT, maybe more recently than that. but they don't happen often. I was trying to do research on this earlier today, and like there is a huge gap in when these strap matches happen because they can be brutal, they can be violent, and you know, not so PG for what the WWE wants. And they're lightening that up a little bit under Triple H. So this is the first real, okay, this is a different match. This can be a brutal, this can be a physical match. I'm curious to see what it looks like in WWE. We know what it looks like because CM Punk did a strap match with MJF in AEW. So we know that Punk, what it looks like in AEW. We've seen CM Punk do it. We've seen a couple strap matches in AEW. I'm curious to see what a strap match looks like under Hunter in WWE.
So looking up, by the way, just trying to figure it out, there's an NXT one in 2023. Extreme Rules 2022. You might have blocked this out of your memory. There was one that night. Do you remember that eventful night from where were
Extreme
they?
Extreme Rules 2022.
Uh-huh.
There was a strap match.
There was. The main event that night was Riddle and Rollins in a fight pit with Cormier as the special ref. Drew McIntyre was in this one back in 2022.
Really?
He was. Against? A Karrion Kross.
Yeah. Really?
Uh-huh. You know, Karrion Kross, CM Punk, similar levels, right?
Karrion Kross has been on the main roster that long?
Apparently, yep. What was the date on this one? It was October 8th of 22, so about 2 years ago.
Huh.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, so forgetting that one, I think that's fair to do. I agree, it's that match, and the rest of it almost feels like we're at the part now where we're back to these PLEs being glorified house shows, especially these international ones where it's the first Saturday of college football. It's one of these where you don't necessarily need to watch the whole show, especially from start to finish, and especially live. Like, it's one of those, a strap match is going to be good. Cody and KO is going to be good because that's what those guys do. And Gunther and Orton should be good. The rest...
No, Gunther versus Orton is good to be good. The problem with that is, and we talk about predictability from time to time on this show.
Yeah.
Like, I wish that that match... I wish that Orton... Look, I understand why Orton's getting this opportunity right now.
Yeah.
Because you need... A lot of times when you have a fresh champion like this, you need that guy who's been... You know, it's basically what AJ Styles was for Cody Rhodes, right? Hey, former WWE champion, legitimate contender, can put on a good match. There's no doubt about who's winning, but still, you can try to build some intrigue. And I think they've done a great job with the promo work that they've done leading into this match. We just know Orton's not winning. I really do wish that Orton could have been an opponent down the road, because Orton still has one more run left in him. But yeah. I firmly believe that Orton still has one more world heavyweight, WWE champion, whichever one it is, championship run left in him. And while Gunther probably still wins that if they do it 5 months from now, like there's more intrigue because you're like, well, it could be Randy. You could, like, but it's going to be a fine match.
Yeah.
But there's not really any that big of consequences to it because you know Gunther's going to win because he's not going to be a transitional champion.
And I'd say the same thing about KO and Cody. Like, if this were a different WWE where maybe they bounce titles back and forth a little more often, I could see KO winning and then, you know, Cody getting it back in a month or two. But that's not how Hunter does things. These title runs are long runs. So that one is, those two are going to deliver. It's what those two do in terms of wrestling. And then even the mixed tag, like, I just feel like this is one of those matches we're going to see five more times over the next few months.
Like we're going to see different iterations of this.
Right.
I'm assuming Rhea and Damian lose due to interference from other members of the New Judgment Day, right? Like we're going to see this a lot of different, you know, it's going to be cut a lot of different ways, you know.
So that's why that doesn't really hold me intrigue-wise. I mean, the women's tag match, you assume Bianca and Jade win there. Nia's defending on SmackDown. That hasn't been announced for the pay-per-view. We're only at five matches for the PLE. And then, yeah, it's a strap match to the point where I think it should main event. Like, that should be the last match, but it feels like it's going to be in the middle of the card.
Yeah, because, I mean, Gunther going over is still going to be big for that crowd in Germany, right? Yeah, so Gunther going out. Because CM Punk has to win this match, right?
You would think so.
Lose this match. So then they're even at two, and then they can do Hell in a Cell or cage match or.
But Punk said not to do that. He said, "Don't fantasy book."
Well, he said don't fantasy book it right away.
Oh, okay. You got to wait a little
bit. That was the difference. Like, okay. You don't have the first match be Hell in a Cell. Okay. You have to build up to Hell in a Cell or Cage Match. Because, I mean, again, Punk wins, and it's going to be, you know, there's going to be a third match. They're going to have a trilogy, and, you know, it almost has to be Hell in a Cell, right?
Yeah, that would make the most sense. I'm trying to think what else they can even do at this point.
Because a strap match can be pretty brutal. Like, there's no escalating after that. And it's not like, I mean, these are brawls, right? So it's not like, oh, pure wrestling, let's do an Iron Man match. You know,
I quit, maybe?
Yeah, I quit, I guess, could make sense.
You could do it that way. I mean, it could end up being friendship bracelet on a pole, and that'll be the end of the run. No?
Friendship bracelet on a pole seems like such a waste of everything they built. Because, again, like, doing the strap match and, like, the way that Punk, when he first came out and cut the promo, it made sense. Like, oh, hey, Drew wants to be attached to me because of this. Well, hey, guess what? Now you get to be attached to me. Strap match. Hey, sweet. Makes sense. I'm hooked. Say less.
Yeah. It's just also weird. Like, you talk about, like, the violence of that match. Like, the 1 o'clock Eastern strap match. And I think it opens, right? Like, if they're not throwing it in the middle of the card? Noon Central? Like, game day end and you're turning on a strap match? Is that what you're doing this weekend?
I'm seeing Lee Corso wave with a mascot on his head, waving to the crowd, and then I'm flipping over to Peacock to see a strap match. You know, hey, sometimes violence. Sometimes you choose violence in the middle of the long holiday weekend, Brian. Sometimes that's the decision you make.
You do you. Whatever works for you.
Choose literal violence. But these are what the PLEs are now for WWE. Outside of what SummerSlam and even the big ones, outside of SummerSlam and WrestleMania, which are going to be two nights. You know, because SummerSlam is going to be joining Mania and being two nights going forward. They're trying to keep these things tight. They're trying to keep them to six matches and keep it to a nice 3-hour window and, you know, go from there. So that's, you know, maybe they add one more match to this card, but maybe they don't. And they just give, you know, a lot of time to Drew and Punk and give a lot of time for the first Terror Twins, which I don't care for, versus the new Judgment Day.
Yeah. And even looking at the schedule, October 5th will be Bad Blood. So they've got a month to build towards that. Crown Jewel November 2nd, and then War Games November 30th. So.
Yeah. I mean, Bad Blood, doing a Hell in a Cell, main eventing Bad Blood with Hell in a Cell and Drew and Punk makes sense.
Yeah, no, that'll be good.
Yeah. Sign me up for that. What do we got at number 3 this week?
All right, we've been a little too positive. All In took place this weekend at Wembley. What was your biggest gripe from AEW All In?
Whew, biggest gripe. I think there were, again, because it's such a big show, it was still an overbloated card.
Yeah.
You know, like the back part of the card was spectacular. It was fantastic. I enjoyed a lot of it, but I think there's still some fat trimming that could have happened on this card. I could list, so loved the main events. Really enjoyed Britt versus Mercedes. Obviously MJF and Ospreay was really good. The tag match was really good. The trios match was a good way to open the show, but you could have found a different way to open the show, I think, than the trios ladder match. It just felt a little overbloated. And I think they could have trimmed it down, you know, lose a match or two, trim that thing down to 3.5 hours. And I think you had something really good, but that's every AEW pay-per-view is you get so excited for some of these main events that they've had. And this is one of the better main events they've had in recent memory, because again, Bryan Danielson's bleeping career was on the line and you get to the end of the card and you're just, whew, all right, here we go. Got another one to go through. Like you're just, as a fan, you're a little exhausted. Now, luckily, the crowd was still incredibly hot. Again, I think as American fans, we need to take notes of the international fans and how they just pulled all this off, all the different chants that they have and all the energy that they have is spectacular. But I would say it was a little overbloated and they could have cut down on some of it.
Yeah, so I think, you know, there are reports that, like, the coffin match was basically cut short because they're out of time. I feel like dropping a match, maybe two, but even just one, like, that helps a lot of things. Maybe, you know, Jericho and Hook, that could have easily been dropped. But in terms of the gripe, like, I'm honestly surprised to hear you say you enjoyed it. Mercedes versus Britt just didn't do it for me.
Really?
And maybe I had too high of hopes. Like, I thought that would be a great match. Like, I'm a fan of Britt. There was just something missing there with those two.
You think so? I saw some accusations online that Britt was sandbagging. I don't know if I buy that.
Well, Mark Henry basically said that on Busted Open on Sirius XM that, like, Britt wasn't giving and was very much just focused on herself.
Yeah, I feel like that's a reputation she has. I don't know if I saw that. Right, like, well, that's
I wouldn't say I saw that. It's not something I would have in the moment, like, oh, this is what's happening. It's been out there. And I'm just saying the match just didn't.
And obviously, if someone like Mark says that, right?
Right.
Like, I mean, he not only is he a Hall of Fame professional wrestler,
yes,
like, he was in that company, so he's, yes, got some intimate knowledge. So I don't know if that's his opinion of a certain wrestler kind of coloring maybe what he, sure, saw in that match. Because do I think it could have been better? Yeah, but I still had fun with it. Like, I thought their entrances were appropriate. I thought that it was, the pomp and circumstance was really good. I thought the timing of it on the card, I thought that was still good. Is that your biggest gripe? Was that match?
Yeah, it was that match. Just because, like, I enjoyed the early build for the match, then Britt gets in trouble, and I feel like it lost a little bit. I enjoy the build, and it just, something was missing. And maybe it is as simple as, oh, this was a long-ass show, and unless you're doing what Brian and Swerve are doing, you're not going to pull someone back in. It could have been that, just flat-out being tired at that point. But it was just missing something for me, and that was disappointing.
I'll be honest. So I did not watch live. I had a family thing on Sunday, so I couldn't watch live. And I ended up breaking it down. Because, again, it's a four-hour show.
Right.
And if you're not watching it live, now taking a four-hour chunk out of any day to be like, oh, I'm just going to sit down and watch All In. I ended up watching it in, like, two different two-hour chunks. So maybe that helped my opinion of it. I wasn't at that point. Because being at some of the All Outs that they do in Chicago, and I love going, I've loved going down to All Out in the past, where, again, even though the matches are spectacular, you just find yourself exhausted by the end. You're like, okay, all right. Oh, right. Okay. Stay awake. You know, it's so long. Maybe that was where you hit just a little bit of fatigue.
That's possible. But, like, if all these reports are true and Britt does seem to have a reputation now, like, it's borderline punk where there's always issues, and she's always in the middle of it, and maybe you're the issue. I don't think we see a rematch. And I think Mercedes even said, I don't know where she posted. I saw her going around Twitter today where she's like, yeah, there are things I wish I would have done different, and that she didn't actually love the match that much.
Yeah, and she's still working her way back. You know, she hasn't wrestled a ton since she's, you know, since she's come back to AEW.
Well, even Britt. I mean, that was Britt's, what, second? They had her wrestle once since coming back?
She wrestled Saraya, right?
Right. So maybe that was part of it also. Maybe the two of them were just flat out rusty. Like, that's the first time Britt's been on that big a stage in a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I don't know if we're going to see it again, which is the disappointing part.
I bet we see it again, not anytime soon, though.
Yeah,
I mean, they're both too big of stars to avoid it. Like, both... Again, Britt is still the biggest star I think they have in that women's division. And I mean, Mercedes is one of the biggest wrestling, you know, female wrestling stars of all time.
Right, yeah.
So they're too big to keep apart for that long. And if they, like, the only way they do is if one of them ultimately ends up leaving the company.
Right.
And it doesn't seem like Mercedes is going anywhere. Because she was absolutely singing the praises of, hey, when I was in WWE, we didn't know what we were doing week to week, which... Again, if you were a WWE fan and, you know, were on the internet at all when Vince was in charge and, you know, it got to 4 o'clock on a Monday. Well, Vince is ripping up the script again. Here we are 3 hours away from showtime. He's ripping up the script. So I get that, you know, so she's able to tell some of the stories. So she's excited for that.
And now she's doing another thing. Logan James says he's excited for the Okada Mercedes love story.
Well, okay, look, he's smitten, man, right?
Like,
he showed up. He's ready to go. He's ready.
Like, I'm filming for him last night. He said it was a dream come true.
showing up chasing off Private Party.
Yes.
But okay, so just kind of going through the card, I think Hook and Jericho could have gone.
Yeah,
you could have cut that out. If you cut that and you cut the ladder match, I think it gives, you know, you give a little bit more time to Jack Perry, Darby Allin. I think you're fine.
Sure, and they did a good job. I was very impressed by them doing the entrances for the ladder match as part of the buy-in.
Yes.
So they actually saved some time there and being conscious of, like, oh, that's a good move there.
Yeah, that's just smart.
Right. But Jericho Hook, I mean, we've said it before, like, I think we all need a break from Chris Jericho.
Yeah. Like, one of the biggest, I mean, Taz got a pretty good pop, though.
He did. He did.
When he came over and threw the Taz mission out, like, people
the
were excited.
Taz mission, but yes, they were very excited.
I mean, look, my man's his body's a little beat up. That's about all he can do at this point. All right.
But yeah, I think besides that, I mean, I was into everything else. Grizzly Young Vets, cool. I guess we'll see them in the Bucks next week in Chicago. Mercedes, like I said, was that? I mean, Toni Storm delivered. That was a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, her and Mariah May.
Yeah.
The Casino Gauntlet match is always fun.
Yeah.
Like it's a fun, different, unique concept that makes AEW a little bit different you know, hey, it's Royal Rumble-esque, but also the match can end anytime. And I'm waiting for that first time where maybe you get a big, you know, somebody big who's walking down the ramp and then the match ends. Like before they get in.
Which Evil Uno awesome. Tweeted he was next. He was the next guy out when the match did end.
see, we missed out on Evil Uno. Evil Uno. So close.
Just missed it.
Yeah, like that was spectacular because you got Christian Cage in there. The return. Oh, by the way, I don't know how we didn't talk about this in the Bryan Danielson segment.
Yes, how did we not? How did I not write that down?
We have to get him and Nigel McGuinness at some point.
We have to. He looks so damn good.
He looked really good. That's the only match I really want.
Right.
Him versus Nigel McGuinness. Nigel's been building this thing up since he appeared on Collision for the first time.
But also that means Brian's going to stick around for a year. Like they have to do Wembley next year. Or not Wembley, but wherever they are in London.
Yeah, Forbidden Door.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Forbidden Door in London.
Their only option.
With him and Nigel. Huh. But we have to get that. That is my only item on the pure, like everything else is gravy. The only thing I actually want to see is Nigel McGuinness versus Bryan Danielson.
It was amazing seeing that pop, seeing that reaction, and then seeing him go. Like you sort of expected him to go out there the way you mentioned the Rumble, where you see the legend get a pop, like, oh, this is awesome. And then they're gonna throw a chop and get thrown out. He showed he could still go.
No, looked good.
Yes.
Like physically looked good and then was able to perform on top of it.
Yes. It was amazing.
Like that was, and I honestly enjoyed the ending of Christian Cage getting that opportunity of Killswitch coming out as Luchasaurus.
Yes.
Making everybody think that he's turning on Cage and in reality he wasn't.
So I would have been a little more okay with it if Christian was the one getting the title shot next week. Because in my mind, it was like, oh, Christian's someone you can throw in and put in a main event no matter what. You're not going to have a lot of time to build the Chicago. Brian Christian, they'll have a great match, call it a night. The fact that now it's still going to be sitting out there, I don't love that when we talk about all the people that should be on the list to face Brian.
Yeah, and we know it's a small window of opportunity
right.
to get the rest of these matches in.
So Chicago would have been perfect. You have a week and a half to build. You give Christian 2 weeks of promos. We're good to go.
Yeah. So we get Story. Yeah. I mean, then you get something. Oh, dear Lord. Then you get something along the lines of, Christian telling him that he's a bad father because he almost, you know, killed his son with a Tiger Driver 91. And
we know that Brian's father has passed. So, you know, it works out perfect for Christian. Yeah,
just it's a win for everybody all the way around. What do we got in news and notes this week?
All right. Coming out today, it was announced a date has been set for the Vince McMahon Netflix docuseries. 6 1-hour episodes will debut on Netflix September 25th. Quote, 200 hours of interviews with McMahon prior to his resignation. There are reports today Janelle Grant was not interviewed for the series.
I still don't know what to feel about this because I don't know. Because McMahon's involved. But also the way, again, the poster that they were putting out on social media makes it seem like he's not going to be painted in a very positive light. Like, this doesn't seem like it's going to be a Vince McMahon propaganda piece. But also, if Janelle Grant's not being interviewed, or maybe she turned out, I don't know, if she turned down an interview, whatever. But am I going to watch it? Absolutely. Am I expecting to learn anything new from it? Not really.
6 hours is a lot of time. They said they talked to a lot of family members. The description does say they're going to address that, and it leads up to him, you know, resigning and things like that. So the fact that they're even addressing it gives me a little bit of hope, as opposed to, you know, hey, we followed him and it ended, you know, 2 years ago. And then, you know, at the blurb at the end, it's like, oh, by the way, he resigned because of this. So it feels like there'll be something. I just don't know what.
I guess it's just, it's always hard because Vince participated.
Right.
And obviously he doesn't have final say. But just his participation makes me weary of how much is actually going to come to light.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. I think the other part also, like, I had people in the office here today like, oh, Vince McMahon doc, like, I'd be interested in that. How they paint him to, like, the non-wrestling fan. Like, you look at him like, oh, successful businessman and, like, the crazy character and this and that. Does he almost end up looking good by the end of it if you don't watch the entire series? Where it's like, oh, this guy's fascinating. And it's like, hey, by the way.
Especially with 6 hours? Yeah.
Right.
Like, I guarantee there are going to be some episodes where you kind of walk away and go, okay, he's eccentric, but he's harmless, which, no, is not the truth.
Right. So that'll be interesting to see that reaction and how people take that in. But Bill Simmons involved, the guy who directed Tiger King also involved. I hope there's something.
The guy who directed Tiger King, obviously not afraid to paint people in a negative light.
Right.
So that's good. That's good news there. Very good news.
But the other thing, like, from a Netflix perspective, I haven't watched any of it, but some of the docs that have come out over the last few weeks, the Connor Stallion one, the Steve McNair, seem to be met with overall disappointment and not learning much out of them.
Yeah, their Untold series is very much like a Told series.
Okay.
like outside of the Manti Te'o one, which was fascinating, the Johnny Manziel one was like a Johnny Manziel propaganda piece. I've heard, I haven't watched the Connor Stallions one, but it seems like most reviews are like, oh, this is just kind of like a Michigan football propaganda piece. Like a Connor Stallions propaganda piece. Like, oh, he didn't cheat. He's just a genius and knows how to do all this stuff. Like, okay, cool.
No. So I don't know. So we'll see how that goes. But September 25th is when we get that on Netflix. Rikishi on the Off the Top podcast is very critical of the WWE's booking of his son, Jey Uso. He said, quote, I'm at the point where I want to call my son and say, quote, go ahead and take a break. Obviously, the writers don't know where to put you. He says the Yeet Man is making them money, but they're not putting in the work for him.
Okay. My follow-up, if we were to have Rikishi on the show, my follow-up was, where should your son be?
Right.
Like, I don't think he should be in the could he have been Intercontinental Champion? Sure, maybe. Yeah. But now that, since they gave it to Braun Breaker, it's like, well, yeah, you just got to keep running with that.
Right.
you got to let that train run. So you don't want to get involved there. They just gave the world championship to Gunther. Okay. Can't really crack that there. I think that being somebody who's over with his catchphrase, like it's just still going to take more time. And again, I think Rikishi being in the era that he was, where they did hotshot the title quite a bit in the Attitude Era. And understandably so, because they had a lot of, you know, big time superstars. But
yeah, but even you that also, era, like, I don't know, there were a handful of guys that were world champs, but like Rikishi wasn't going to win a world title.
No.
And I
no, but I mean, you had, I mean, yeah, Kane, Undertaker, HBK, Triple H, Rock, Stone Cold, Mankind. Sure. You know, like there were a lot, and like Rock, Mankind, like passed it back and forth a couple of times, and they did it that way, but. Again, it was, you had a lot of big names, a lot of big superstars at that time. Plus, obviously, you kind of have to keep Jey a little free.
Right.
There's something going on over on SmackDown that he's probably going to be involved in something pretty big over there. So I think you just got to be a little patient here.
But in terms of like he'll be involved in the Bloodline, which will be a main event story, but he's still sort of middle of the pack there. Like there are going to be a lot of names that trump him in that story.
Yeah, I mean, but there's a way where he can be the savior of the story.
Yeah, but do you see that, like, Rock, Roman, Sammy, if he's involved? I say Fatu's ahead of him at this point. Like, that's a lot of other names.
Yeah.
Heyman. Yeah. Like, he's an important part of the puzzle, but he's just a piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, he's not, like, the main piece. No, because Roman right. always is. But also, like, that's the biggest thing he can do.
Right. Oh, 100%.
Like, that's bigger. No. That's, I mean, okay, let me ask you this. If you're Jey Uso, would you rather be Intercontinental Champion or be a piece of the Bloodline story?
Definitely the Bloodline. The Intercontinental Champion is getting left off cards. Like, it's not being defended this weekend. If the Bloodline story was active, it'd be on the card near the top of the card.
Yeah, I mean.
right. Yeah.
Roman ain't going to Berlin. What are you, are you crazy? Come on.
Maybe I'll send a video. Yeah. Elsewhere news and notes, you mentioned earlier Daniel Garcia. PW Insider says Garcia's AEW contract is up in October. No new deal has been signed yet. He is in discussions with the company, though.
I hope he sticks around. I just don't think that he's somebody. And we had this discussion about Ricky Starks. Like, he's somebody that would start out in NXT and I feel would kind of get lost in the shuffle pretty quickly over there. Sure. And he's got the opportunity with this feud he has with MJF to be a little bit more established and put himself a little bit more on the map in AEW. Like, he would have to start complete. He's starting completely over if he goes to NXT WWE.
But to that point about starting over, he has to win in Chicago. He has to beat MJF.
Yeah.
Like, you squash him completely if he loses yet again.
What if it's like a low blow from MJF, or MJF somehow gets the ring back and it's setting up like a trilogy of matches?
I don't have the confidence that AEW would do that. It's more likely that that happens and then we never see them wrestle again.
Yeah, because, well, I mean, the only long-term feud that they've really had is Adam Page and Swerve.
Right.
Right? Like, that's kind of the only big long-term one they've had.
Yeah, I mean, Hangman, Elite-ish stuff also, like, maybe.
Yeah, that's always lingering. You know, Hangman versus the Elite, Hangman versus Omega.
And I feel like part of that is them doing their own stuff on, like, BTE and things like that.
Yeah. So it's – I mean, I'm guessing – I'm hoping if he loses, it sets up just a longer-term feud where he ends up winning more. But, yeah, it's tough to trust AEW with that when they only have one example of a long-term feud.
Finally, news and notes. Friend of the show, Matt Cardona, in an interview with Inside the Rope, says he does think about going back to WWE one day, but says if he does, the days of Zack Ryder are long and gone.
Woo, woo, woo. You know it.
See ya.
Pour it
out.
He
said you can still put him in video games and make characters so he can get royalty checks, though.
Okay. Well, I mean, again, we got friend of the show, so he was very open and honest about what the most important thing in wrestling is to him. That's making money. Yeah. So those royalty checks would be important. But look, Zack Ryder should, if he goes back to WWE, Zack Ryder should be in the past.
Yes,
100%. Like, maybe he does a couple of things, you know, like he does the broski boot or whatever. He gets in the corner and does his woo, woo, woo. But, like, he has worked too damn hard for the Matt Cardona brand to throw that away and go back to being Zack Ryder.
Yeah, and he brought up the point about, like, Scott Hall when he went back to WWE. He wasn't Razor Ramon. So, like, bringing that up, I think there's a good chance there.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. You know? Yeah. Cody Rhodes came back, and he wasn't Stardust.
Right. Yeah, good point. So that's it for news and notes.
What were your matches of the week?
All right, we talked about it a little bit, but that Brian versus Surf match, that was really good at All In at Wembley.
Two thumbs up.
Yes, lots of thumbs up for those guys. Maria versus Tony, also the Casino Gauntlet, just for the reactions and the fun. And then I enjoyed last night Ricochet and Kyle Fletcher.
I really enjoyed the Hangman match last night. It was brutally physical.
Yes.
Yeah, that was that. I would add that to the list of.
Yeah. They delivered at All In, so plenty to choose from there.
Oh yeah, All In again. I think the ladder match was fun. Again, Will Ospreay and MJF was really good. I think they did a good job I think they did a really good job in a lot of these matches of telling stories within the match.
Sure.
Which is something that the elite level wrestlers do. It's something that Ospreay can certainly do. I mean, Brian Danielson can teach the class on how to do that at this point. So I you know, the best wrestlers in the world know how to do that. And those are two of the best. So yes, not shocking that they would deliver. And again, the story with Mariah May and Timeless, Toni Storm.
And even that, I'm curious to see where that goes next. Like, I just assumed they'd run it back in Chicago, but it looks like they're not. Or last night they dropped, oh, we haven't heard from Toni Storm in a while. So I feel like there's still more chapters to that story, which I'm excited to see.
I don't know if that title gets defended, because she just did a show up, crap on Champaign, Illinois, and take off her robe and leave.
Yeah. Which I'm fine with. Like, you don't need to have her defend it. Like, have her just be a mega heel and just move on with that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So, you know, I think, yeah, it was certainly better than All in 2023.
Does Toni Storm come back as the old? Are we done with Timeless?
I think that's the storytelling.
She lost at Wembley, and then she went down that path to become Timeless Toni Storm. She loses again at Wembley, and maybe now she goes back to Rocker Toni Storm.
I wouldn't. I mean, Rocker Toni Storm or a different, or maybe she goes away for a while and comes back as a different version. I think, as much as I enjoyed Timeless Toni Storm, I think that character has run its course.
Yeah.
I don't know what else you can do with that character.
I know, but what a run! What a hell of a run!
And maybe there's a little bit of juice left that you can squeeze in that, but I would rather see her end that character on a high note than try to squeeze a little bit more. Sure. And then ultimately we have this sour taste in our mouth of, oh man, Timeless Toni Storm was fun, but just kind of held on to it a little too long.
Yeah, I'm 100% okay with that. Like, I loved this past year. I loved everything they did with that. Like, if they're moving on, great. Like, kudos to everything they've done with this angle.
What did you think of the tag match?
I thought it was fine. That felt like one of those quick finishes also, where like, oh, let's save some time, and it just sort of ended.
Yeah, I had higher hopes.
Right. And mainly because of FTR and the Bucks. No
offense.
Oh,
yeah.
The Acclaimed, well, I guess. But.
No, because the Acclaimed, they're a fine tag team. They're a very good tag team. But, like, we did in the first iteration, or in the first year of GKW, when we had Match of the Year, like, we all picked a different FTR versus Briscoe brothers, yeah. Right? Like, because they had the trilogy of matches that year. We all picked a different one. Like, we FTR's on a different... Same thing with the Young Bucks. Like, anytime the Young Bucks take on the Lucha Brothers, it's like, okay, here comes a Match of the Year candidate. You know, they have... The Acclaimed has not quite reached that level.
Correct. And I'm hopeful in Chicago, if it is Bucks and Grizzled Young Vets, that something different for the Bucks to work, that we see the Bucks get back to that level, because it feels like it's been a while since we've seen the Bucks have one of those memorable matches. So maybe with a new team that, to my knowledge, they haven't worked before, like, that could be something fun in Chicago.
Yeah. Jay Hood's team. The Grizzlies.
That's right.
Young veterans.
He hyped them up. He got them signed there.
He did. He did. He did hype them up. He did hype them up. I can't wait to get his reaction on that next week. What he thinks of the Grizzled Young Veterans.
He needs to go to Chicago and see them. He should manage them.
Without a doubt. Like, they're going to be in Milwaukee next week. I might go check them out just to see if the Grizzled Young Veterans show up. Just for Jay Hood. Maybe get him some merch. Make sure you check us out on YouTube. Comment and subscribe. We've got a lot of great interviews on there from some of our past episodes. Again, Brian talks about HBK from a couple of weeks ago, where he talks about NXT and their arrival on the CW. So go check that out with a lot of the other interviews and special videos that we have. YouTube.com/@GoodKarmaWrestling. Bash in Berlin this week. We build into All Out the week after. It's a busy time in the professional wrestling calendar. We'll talk about it all next week right here on GKW.